Roger Allam star as a long-married couple still mad about life and each other. Conversations from a Long Marriage is in just a moment.
Preheat oven, gas mark 9, pour audience into palm of hand, ding, dinner is served. That's my recipe.
Fresh comic chaos from Tim Key and Tom Basden.
Your head's swollen up.
Pardon me?
It's swollen right up. It's like an onion on a cocktail stick.
Using poetic license when it comes to poetry.
I sometimes write poems about love. Love in the community, that sort of thing. Sometimes snooker.
Featuring Katie Wicks, Stephen Merchant, Lolly Adefope and Morgana Robinson.
Looks like he's been rolled out of dough while the lights were off.
She's got away with words, Lord. I'll give her that.
Bang on.
Pardon me?
Tim Key's Poetry Programme. Tuesday night's new 6:30 comedy on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, everybody's talking, but not necessarily to each other.
Conversations from a Long Marriage.
By Jan Etherington.
Starring Joanna Lumley.
And Roger Allam. Episode 4, You Don't Have to Say You Love Me.
The things we do for love, the things we do for love.
Oh, stop humming.
I don't want to.
Why?
I've got tinnitus.
How do you know?
I just do.
What are your symptoms?
Buzzing sound all the time, driving me mad.
That's because you're humming.
I'm humming to try and drown it out. It's still there when I stop.
I suppose it's not unexpected. All those years standing by speakers at music festivals. It's a miracle you've never had it before.
It's so loud in my ears. Surprised you can't hear it.
It might be loud to you, but sound is always amplified in your head.
Sometimes it even wakes me in the night.
Does it? It's not tinnitus.
Thank you, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, but I'd like a second opinion.
My second opinion is it's definitely not tinnitus.
What is it then?
The battery charger for the new toothbrush.
This is not a joke.
It's true. I discovered it makes that noise. I think to tell us it's fully charged. I try to remember to unplug it when we go to bed so it doesn't disturb us, but sometimes I forget.
You didn't say anything.
I do a lot of kind and considerate things I don't broadcast. Like pairing your socks right side out.
It was you all the time. You told me it was the sock fairy.
Listen to me, hear what I say. Our hearts can be nearer each day. Hold me, darling, listen closely to me.
Here's your coffee.
Thanks. Oh.
That's the kind of sigh that usually means it's my fault.
Have you ever found yourself on a road that seemed endless?
Oh, yeah. It's called marriage.
Oh, hilarious. Answer the question.
Why?
I'm struggling with this chapter.
Another editorial crisis in the latest opus of my nemesis?
Rix is not your nemesis. He's just my client.
What's he doing now? Cartwheels down Everest?
Oh, close. He is about to set off again for the High Himalayas.
Doesn't he ever just set off for Specsavers or the Co-op?
I know you're not thrilled I'm working with him, but I do love it when you're jealous.
Why would I be jealous of him, pumped-up narcissist?
Because he's young, handsome, famous and very fit.
Not the right tactic if you need my help.
Sorry, I do need your help, please.
In that case, I will gallop to your rescue.
I don't need Sir Lancelot, just a bit of creative prose input.
And that's where I'm your man. Let me see.
Here.
Rix Roden, gargling the Gobi.
It's googling the Gobi, as you know.
What does that even mean?
He trekked across one of the most hostile, desolate places on Earth with only an app to guide him.
Why?
Because that's what he does. He's an adventurer. And in this bit, he's writing about walking along a road that appeared to have no ending, but that's all he said.
What more do you want him to say?
Well, obviously, I want him to say how that feels.
Ah, feelings. Not easy for macho men to emote.
I know. That's why I'm asking you.
Ooh, harsh.
I can only say that because, in truth, you are mucho macho in a good way. I feel so safe with you.
Safe? The insults are queuing up. Quit while you're behind.
Okay, so, have you ever found yourself on a road that seemed endless? How did you feel?
Yes. I do remember when I was younger, walking home from some club or party in those empty hours of the night when the whole world is snoring.
Mm.
It was so much further than I thought. My friends had swerved off at various points, so now I'm alone and all I can hear is my echoey footsteps. in the black hole of darkness, nothing looks familiar, and I don't even know if I'm going in the right direction. No sat-nav there, no mobile phones. Shadows seem menacing, traffic lights change, but there are no cars. Cats dart and yowl, and I'm tired, deathly tired. My feet are heavy as bricks, and my eyes start to lose focus and play tricks. I'm seriously tempted to just lie down in a doorway and wait till daylight, when someone will step over me and tell me where the hell I am.
That's perfect.
Not a word I often hear.
Why can't Rix think like you?
Because he's so busy being macho.
He only talks about the mileage and his heart rate. You're much cleverer than him.
But when did clever get the girl?
Arthur Miller got Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, but then she had an affair with Yves Montand.
Who wouldn't? And you got me.
Still can't quite believe it.
Because you say lovely things like that, whereas it's such a struggle to get Rix to open up.
And boy, have you tried.
I have, as his editor, but... Ooh, that was a dig about my brief crush, wasn't it?
Meant to be a joke.
Wasn't.
Ruined the moment, didn't it?
It did. You never can resist a chance to have a go at Rix, can you?
Honestly, no. He's such an easy target, and it's pretty common to make a joke about something that scares you.
Rix scares you?
Not physically, although I wouldn't fancy my chances with him in a boxing ring, but sometimes I wake up and imagine that he's taken you away on a horse or a winged chariot.
Are you serious?
It feels serious at 3 a.m. and you don't even look back.
You never told me about that dream.
Obviously not. You'd have laughed.
I wouldn't. I'd no idea you still worried about Rix. I thought you just enjoyed winding me up about him. We're all scared of something, aren't we? I wonder if it's because he made his name as this bold and fearless explorer that he can't ever admit that he gets scared.
Or maybe he's just a testosterone-fueled amalgam of push-ups and star jumps and he doesn't have any feelings.
And also, he's not as funny as you.
Wow, the compliments just keep on coming.
Sweeter than sugar.
Sorry I've been so long.
Oh, that's okay. I've only just got in myself. Aim is really thirsty. It's so hot in the care home.
I've got some mini quiche for lunch and bean salad.
Great. I'll get it together.
Ask me how it went.
What? Pilates?
No.
Swimming?
No, of course not. You know where I've been.
Remind me.
I've been for my annual checkup.
Oh, right. Forgot.
Well, I thought you'd be on tenterhooks worrying about me.
Why would I worry about you having a checkup?
I worry about you when you go to the doctors.
Yeah, but I've had a heart attack and a new knee. You've had nothing.
I fell down the stairs once.
Yeah, but that was my fault, so I wasn't going to mention it.
Because you left stuff lying around on the steps.
Yeah, and I've been sewn up in a hair shirt ever since. But you survived. So, what did the nurse say?
She said I have the blood pressure of a 15-year-old.
Good, you're going to need it. You haven't asked me how I got on at the care home.
Oh, same old, I'm guessing. Auntie Hilda making demands and Jack agreeing with everything?
In essence, yes, but we were there for quite a while.
Oh? Are they both all right?
They're both very all right. Very all right indeed.
What does that mean?
Auntie Hilda has told Matron that she and Jack want to move in together.
Dear Lord! You mean, like, a double room, a couple?
That's definitely what she means.
What brought this on?
I'd like to say unbridled passion, but I think it's more about helping each other to the loo at night.
Well, that's no bad thing.
It's not. And my first thought was it's a great idea because they can save a few bob and halve the care home fees.
Well, I don't think it works like that, otherwise they'd all be shacking up together.
Sadly, that's true. Matron put me right. They give them two rooms and one is a sitting room, apparently.
I bet this was all Hilda's idea. I imagine Jack's quivering with terror at the prospect of bunking up with her.
He said she's promised he doesn't have to perform.
You'd get that in writing, knowing Hilda's powers of persuasion.
He seems quite excited.
Ooh, well, that's a worry after his palpitations. Did you see Hilda?
No, she and Sally were doing one of her life story interviews.
Oh, cripes, it'll be a bit of a life change. I know they're fond of each other, but they're both over 90.
And your point is?
Maybe I should go in and talk to her. They're both so inexperienced.
So you're going to tell them the facts of life, are you? Bit late.
I'm going to talk to them about living together. They've each been on their own for a very long time. Jack's wife died, what, 30 years ago? And Hilda's always been by herself.
Then maybe it's time they discover the delights of being part of a couple. What?
I was waiting for a cynical payoff along the lines of, although I'm struggling to think of anything delightful myself.
Darling, our long marriage has been a constant delight and a source of joy to me, and I feel sorry for anyone who's never had that experience.
But
nothing. They may only be a few birthdays short of a card from the king, but even if they just have 1 year together, they'll die happy, knowing they've been loved.
I'm burning your Barbara Cartland collection.
Honestly, that's pretty much how I feel. She might be the boss, run his life, order him about and tell him what to do, what to wear, what to eat, all the time, but that's always worked for us.
True. So get that Keaton salad on the table pronto.
Well, I got a woman mean as she can be. Got shapely hips, yeah. Boy, she makes a royal hip. I got a woman.
I know, Sally. It surprised us as well. But I suppose it's good for them both to have someone just for them, even, or maybe especially at this time of their lives. We all need someone to love us, whatever our age, don't we? Sally, whatever's the matter? I thought she said Wednesday. You mean he's still not booked a flight? Well, ask him. But you have to. What? No, yes, he's okay. Don't change the subject. He's just been to see Jack. And Amy's just spotted him coming up the path. Yes, we're on the common. Hello, darling. Amy, look. Who's that? Go find him. Sal, I'll have to go, sweetheart. But look, I'll call you later. Just ring Peter and ask him what's going on. Better to know than to wind yourself up imagining all sorts, hmm? Promise? All right, lots of love. Bye.
Oh, what's Amy been doing?
Rolling in fox poo, of course. Oh,
why do dogs do that?
She thinks it makes her more attractive.
Seems to work. That German shepherd is on his way over.
Put her on the lead. I'm going to take her home for a bath.
You put the lead on her. I don't want to get any closer.
Why don't you ever want to do the dirty bits?
Moving swiftly on. So, how was Sally?
How do you know I was talking to her?
Not a wild guess when she calls you roughly once an hour.
She's a bit upset.
Mm-hmm. Will there ever come a day when I say, how's Sally, and you say she couldn't be happier and she and Peter are swinging in a love seat, feeding each other asparagus?
Did you know Peter's still in Canada with Kirsty and not made any plans to return?
He's there with his son, isn't he? Kirsty just happens to be the mother of his son.
Well, technically, yes, but Sally says he always has his phone off. She thinks something's going on and that Peter might get back together with Kirsty.
Is she still on about that? Has she asked him?
She's frightened because she's scared of what the answer will be. Has he said anything to you about his feelings?
Well, when they were handing out feelings, Peter only grabbed the packet labelled lust. He goes through life hurtling into things like a wrecking ball and then running away from the consequences. That's how he got a son in the first place.
He should see a therapist.
No chance. The one time I've known him express any feelings was the night before his aborted wedding to Kirsty.
I remember. He was in a turmoil all night.
He was seriously thinking of calling it off because she didn't like the clash.
Sally says everyone else is happy but her.
Oh. So she knows about Hilda and Jack's plans?
Oh, that hasn't helped. Working with Hilda, she was upset enough, listening to tales of long-lost love from the residents' life stories. So when Hilda told her about moving in with Jack, she said even Auntie Hilda has got a better love life than her.
OK. I'll message Peter and try and find out what he's up to, but I'm not optimistic.
Thanks. So how's Jack?
Well, he did open up. He confessed that he might like to try a physical relationship with Hilda, but he didn't know if he was up to it, as he was getting on a bit.
Oh, bless him. Is Hilda trying to talk him into it?
No, he hasn't said anything to her. I suggested he needs to think about it seriously before he makes any promises. Maybe speak to his doctor.
Don't want Auntie Hilda getting pregnant. I'm sorry, I don't mean to joke, but I do worry about them.
I said exactly that. They were acting like lovesick teenagers.
Well, it is a huge life change for them both, and it could be risky.
You could say the same about Amy. She's just disappeared behind the privet hedge with the German shepherd.
I can feel you breathing, move your hair on my skin as we lie here within the night. I'll pull the sheets when it's sleep every time. Grow old with me, let us share what we see, and all the best it could be, just you and I.
Bring me a glass of Rioja and don't speak until I've drunk it.
But it's a non-drinking
It's day. Not anymore.
Crikey, what's the matter?
I said!
All right. Here you are. I'm just making some fish cakes, and I thought we could maybe have some seared chard with them. Or just a green salad, whatever you want. You'll get hiccups if you drink that fast.
Ah, oh, that's better.
Told you. Come on then, spit it out, not the wine. Has Coral at Pilates corrected your sit-ups once too often?
I wasn't at Pilates. You know where I've been. Oh, for goodness sake, do you forget everything I tell you?
No, only the less interesting things that don't affect me directly.
Your aunt's sex life certainly affects you directly.
Ah, yes, you've been giving advice to Auntie Hilda.
Turns out she doesn't need it.
Oh, well, worth a try. Probably for the best at their age, just to have a cuddle.
It's not what you think. She started off by saying she'd not had much time for love and marriage because... Sit down.
I'm just preparing supper.
No, leave it for a minute. I'd rather you sat down than fell down with shock.
Of what?
She said she never had much time for love or marriage.
You just told me that.
Because, wait for it, no one could live up to her first lover.
Why is that shocking?
It was your dad.
They were lovers?
Yeah. He was going out with Hilda before she took him home, and he met her sister.
My mum, yes, I know.
Well, before all that, Hilda says she and your dad were extremely physical, and she said no one has ever measured up to him.
Wow! I'm going to have one now. I don't think my mum knew they had sex. I didn't think anyone had sex before marriage back then.
Well, not many did. There was no pill for a start, and the idea of getting pregnant was terrifying.
How did they all manage to control themselves back then? We certainly didn't.
Nor did Auntie Hilda. Which was why she was devastated when he chose to marry her sister. She found out your mum made him wait until their wedding night before they got it on.
Which is when I was conceived, I think.
Hilda said, my sister was a beauty, but she never satisfied him like I did.
Auntie Hilda said all that?
Yeah, she did. They just brought the sherry round.
Ah.
She also told me that your dad said as much to her once when they were sitting doing a jigsaw with you.
Don't remember that.
Well, you wouldn't. You were three.
Too young to pick up on flirty badinage.
You don't seem that shocked.
Well, I told you I always thought they had a spark. They laughed a lot whenever she came to see me later on. Because I was her godson, it kept her close to Dad, I guess.
Do you think he ever felt he'd made a mistake and wished he'd married Hilda instead of your mum?
Maybe. We all have what-if moments, don't we?
Do you?
Oh, God, you know what I mean. Old flames, eyes across a crowded ping-pong table at the youth club.
Chris Kavanagh with his black leathers and his motorbike. He used to rev past my house.
Did he?
Oh, yes. I was 12. He never noticed me. He was after Pam next door.
So, if Hilda has spent her whole life comparing every man to my dad, how does Jack fit into this torrid scenario?
She says Jack has made her feel special and loved, and she would like to respond to him physically.
Has she told him that?
Well, not yet. Maybe not ever.
Jack talks to me and she talks to you, but why can't they talk to each other about how they feel?
Not something that generation did. Do you remember your parents hugging you and telling you they loved you?
God, no. Brisk handshake if I'd been away with the Scouts, or a clip round the ear if I pinched a jam tart was as close as I got to physical contact with my mum and dad.
They weren't encouraged or expected to talk things through like we are today.
Ad nauseam. I prefer the old days.
Oh, I know you do. But Hilda and Jack will have to discuss it.
Don't hold your breath. That generation certainly didn't talk about sex.
That's so true.
They were taught that it was smutty.
It is, when it's done properly.
For them, living together is daring enough, but living in sin, going all the way, they still think it's unacceptable, dodgy. Like my mum and dad, who apparently didn't have sex before marriage, I've just discovered.
Your dad obviously did, with Auntie Hilda.
Much of what follows is true isn't true.
What?
That's the disclaimer at the beginning of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but it could just as easily be applied to Auntie Hilda's stories.
What, do you think she's telling fibs? She was very convincing. She was quite tearful when she talked about him.
But you did say the sherry was flowing.
Do you think we should just back off and let them get on with it?
Yes, I do.
After all, sex isn't really important when you're nearly 100 years old, is it?
I'll remind you of that when you're 99 and still throwing yourself underneath me every night.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Phew.
I'll be on top, of course, darling.
Grow old with me, let us share what we see and all the best it could be, just you and I.
Have you got hold of Peter yet?
Good evening, Jerry.
What?
I'm just reminding you of the etiquette of civilised greetings as demonstrated by Margot in The Good Life.
Good evening.
Good evening, darling.
Well, have you spoken to Peter?
Since when?
Since when you said you were going to talk to him about what was going on with Kirsty and why he hadn't come home.
He hasn't answered his phone.
Did you text?
No, I wrote a second-class letter. Of course I texted. Still no response.
I couldn't get hold of Sally all day either, which is very worrying.
Maybe she's flying out to join him in Canada.
Well, she can't afford it. They're hard up. That's why she's working at the care home.
OK, so, enough about them. What shall we do this evening? Another fruitless search for something we both want to watch on Netflix, followed by a little light bickering and an early night. That would be my choice.
Oh, Di and Al are coming round for pizza.
News to me.
Well, most social arrangements are.
Have we got any pizza?
They're bringing it. Listen, can you try ringing Sal from your phone?
She'll wonder what's up if I call her.
Exactly. She might answer if it's you.
OK.
And I'll try and call Peter.
What's the panic?
The panic is neither of them are answering their phones, and they're half a world apart. Sally is, look, I don't want to say suicidal, but she's very depressed because he seems to be avoiding her.
Well, she's not picking up.
Peter's not answering either.
Maybe she's in the bath or something.
She takes her phone everywhere. Right, I'm going round to Sal's.
Whoa! I thought we had Diane Al coming round for a pizza.
Well, we do.
Shall I put them off?
I won't be long.
You might be if there's a problem.
Oh, look, this has been building up for ages. She's been in tears for a week, getting more and more frantic because he's ignoring her calls.
Airing is the phrase, to intentionally ignore someone.
Look, I know what the phrase is, but Peter did this before it had a name. His philosophy, when you're up to something that's likely to end your marriage, switch off your phone. Oh, it's not looking good. If he is planning to get back with Kirsty, why can't he just fripping talk to Sally about it?
Because that would be brave and honest, and Peter is a lily-livered coward.
Well, I think he's scared of what Sally might do.
To him or to herself?
Well, possibly both.
You want me to come with you in case we have to...
Have to what?
Break the door down?
Oh, don't. Oh, I hope I'm not too late.
Don't give up, 'cause you have friends.
A glass of Rioja and don't speak to me till I've drunk it.
It's deja vu all over again. Here, have this one and just pour it.
Thanks.
And just in case you wondered, I called Di and Al and we've shifted the pizza night till tomorrow. Also, I'm rustling up a frittata. Thank you, darling. It's okay. You're welcome. I presume nobody died or needed an ambulance.
I was seriously tempted to bang their stupid heads together.
Plural?
Yeah. Knocked on the door, no reply. Went round the back, calling out. French windows open. Went upstairs, fearing the worst. Opened their bedroom door.
And they were in bed together.
Well, how do you know?
Deduction. You're not in tears, so Sally's okay, but you're as ferocious as a cornered ferret, which usually means Peter's around somewhere, and you said their heads. Cross my palm and call me Sherlock.
He flew back to surprise her. Arrived this morning, she was still in bed.
So he joined her and they've been there ever since.
Pretty much.
Sally always told me they had a great...
Great what?
A physical relationship, apparently. Where was I going with that? I'm going to row back now.
It's too late.
I can't actually remember how I know that.
Yes, you can. Last time they split up, you had secret meetings with Sally because she told me.
So they weren't secret?
You didn't tell me about them.
Well, obviously not. Look, I've known her longer than I've known you, and sometimes she does tell me things.
And you enjoy it?
Yes, I do, in the same way you enjoy talking to Rick's Roden.
Oh, change the record. Anyway, they weren't having sex. They were sitting up in bed with a cup of tea, talking.
Peter? Talking? Confessing, you mean?
He said Kirsty came on to him, but he turned her down.
Ha! And you believe him?
It doesn't matter what I believe. Sally believes him.
A triumph of hope over a mountain of damning evidence.
Yes, but at least they're talking.
How come they didn't hear you shouting for them?
They were playing Foo Fighters at max volume.
At least his music tastes improved.
Oh, that's definitely the last time I worry about them.
Now, where have I heard that before?
I mean it. How long do we spend worrying about Jack and Hilda and Sally and Peter and...
And Rex?
Don't worry about him.
You're always on the phone trying to get him to express himself.
I'm his editor, and he had a very controlling father.
I don't care about him and his backstory.
No, I get that.
But I do care about us.
So do I.
Garrison Keillor reckoned there's too much said about talking things over. Most things go away if you ignore them. Shall we try letting them all get on with it? I'm starving.
Oh, this is probably Sally saying sorry.
Leave it.
I'm not the dog. Anyway, it's not Sally, it's Rick's.
Right, I'm off to the pub then.
No, 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 don't go, don't go.
Well, I'm not sitting here listening to you stroking his outsize ego.
Look, I've dismissed his call.
Oh, am I supposed to be grateful?
If that's Peter, tell him...
I will. Oh, it's Jack.
Same applies. We're not sorting out any more problems tonight. It's your idea.
Evening, Jack.
Oh.
How are you? Glad to hear it. She's what? When?
What?
Wonderful news. Are you? That's a very interesting choice.
What?
You're right, she will be. She's standing right beside me.
Yes,
do you want to... Oh, the meds trolley's arrived. Fair enough. I'll tell her. We'll both come up tomorrow. Congratulations.
What?
Night.
Congratulations? What's happened now?
Hilda's proposed. She's asked Jack to be her lawful wedded husband.
Oh, that's fantastic. Did she get down on one knee?
No, but he got down on both knees with gratitude.
Oh.
He said, so now we can have relations. And he doesn't mean you and me.
Ooly dooly, that's super news. We've got a wedding to plan.
They're going away for their honeymoon. He's taking her to Dunkirk.
Oh, that's very surprising. Why?
Hilda suggested it. He says she's the one person who listens to his war stories. He loves that she's interested in him.
Well, there are worse reasons for getting hitched.
So everybody's happy.
Fantastic. But why did it take so long? Oh, doesn't it make you mad when couples just don't talk to each other?
Not a problem that will ever directly affect us, I suspect.
Love is all around, at last.
Our work here is done. The frittata beckons. Fair warning, I'm getting my whisk out.
Stuff the frittata.
I'm going to.
Come over here.
Do you want to eat or not?
Not right now.
Well, sit down and talk for a bit.
Done that.
What then? Spell it out.
Don't need words.
Oh! Don't squash my whisk.
A little less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less bite, a little more spark. Shut your mouth and open up your heart. Baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
was written by Jan Etherington.
It starred Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
It was produced by Claire Jones.
And was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4.
And you can join Joanna and Roger at the same time next week when Roger feels abandoned as Joanna heads off for her morning swim. Next this evening on Radio 4, Brian explores his options in The Archers after the news.
Radio 4's journey from fertilisation to first birthday reaches childbirth.
Child with India Rakusin.
5 programmes exploring birth through the lenses of science.
Birth began to be seen as this process that we could really control.
History.
Studies have shown that people who are marginalised by the system are more vulnerable in a birthing situation.
And society.
I can't think of another form of human pain that is as moralised as childbirth pain.
Child, with me, India Rakusin, continues next Monday to Friday afternoon at 1:40.